good afternoon. It is good to be back in the studio here again in Greenville. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's, I guess the real intense heat is gone maybe for the summer. If you look out, it's, mid to upper 80s, but the humidity's here now. I thought I'd left that back in Alabama last week. It was pretty rough. I think it was 110 with a heat index. Some of those days were out on the water. And I just don't do that heat very well anymore. But it was a good time. I hope you've been keeping up with some of the pictures on Facebook and had a chance to catch a little of the coverage on FLW Live. It was a good time. Some pretty big news coming out of that for South Carolina. And we'll hear about that in the next segment. I got some good news, some bad news, and some worse news, I guess you want to say. The good news is the Dove Field looks really good. I haven't had a chance to get over there. My brother was over the other day and sent some pictures back. It looks, Taylor, if you're listening, it looks like we're going to have a pretty good opening day of dove season this year. As long as we have some birds, I got it late, but man, I tell you, it's headed out. If I can get over there next week or so and cut it, let it dry. Yeah, it'll be, have a good time. Bad news is we got a beaver. And I saw him a couple of weeks ago when I was over there. I saw the beaver, and all I had was my SIG 9mm. And I thought maybe the second time around I got him. I was pretty close to him. That's a pretty accurate pistol. But evidently I didn't, because along with the pictures of the nice green dove field are a bunch of trees with rings around them and a couple of them over. So we got a beaver mission to go on. If Pete's listening out there, Pete's a trapper for the USDA, might need your help, bud. If not, I'll go get him on my own. The worst news is, and I'm sure there's a lot of, I see friends posting this all over, is, college. Everybody's taking their kids back to college. And where's summer going? Monday I'll be in Charleston taking mine back to school. And, of course, it's a lot different attitude this year than it was a year ago. But to all you parents out there that are moving kids into Clemson or South Carolina or wherever, or getting ready to take them back, we all need to have a pity party together, because it's going to be lonely again. I mean, I've still got Taylor at home, and she's a handful and keeps life interesting. But, to have been gone for 9 months and have him back for three, it's another adjustment. So if you're a parent out there going through this, I can sympathize. If your kids are in middle school and you're like, I'm glad school's starting back, because I don't have to watch out for them during the week, your time is coming. Don't laugh too hard. But haven't done a good calendar. So I got a calendar here, and it may not get through it all, because there's a lot out there, and I figured maybe you want to know a little of what's going on. If you're looking for something to do tonight, the Midland branch of QDMA is having their fifth annual family banquet. It's in Greenwood, South Carolina. Piedmont Tech's multipurpose building starts at 6. You can buy tickets at the door, I think. They do a really good one. Every kid that comes in there gets a prize. I mean, the rack pack stuff they give away is great for the kids. Of course, live auctions and all that. But theirs is pretty unique in that they have a piece of property called the Puckett Homestead. It's 500 acres in Troy, South Carolina, and it's managed exclusively for wildlife and outdoor education research and to pass on hunting heritage to first-time hunters and veteran hunters. So, I don't know. You may want to. Danae McCarty is the contact, 864-993-9060. You may want to give them a call right quick if you're looking for something to do tonight. And you don't have to dress up. I mean, there'll be all sorts of camouflage and that sort of thing out there. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, there you go. Tuesday. Now, here's all you moms out there that sent all your kids back to school next week. We still have a couple at home. Tuesday, August the 16th, from 1 to 3 o'clock at the World of Energy, which is Duke Powers, Duke Energy. They're in Seneca. They're having Wildlife 101. Matt Curry, he's got the Paws Animal Wildlife Sanctuary. He's come out and learn about Paws' efforts in the upstate South Carolina to rehabilitate stranded and or injured wildlife and find out what to do when you come across a wild animal that may or may not need your help. He's got 30 years in the experience rehabilitating wildlife. Should be a good time. This Super Tuesday, it's free and open to the public. Again, that's August 16th from 1 to 3 for all you moms that still have one or two at home you want to get out and have some fun with. August the 20th, Sherrall State Park, and there's one in Chester State Park too, but it's this week, so I punted on that one. Moonlight Canoe Floats. This is from the South Carolina Parks website. These are fun things to do, and I started thinking, you know, most people that go canoeing, they're not going to want to go for a couple of hours, 3 hours or whatever, but you know, if you're just getting into it, a moonlight canoe float, not much experience, be good to go with a park ranger, somebody that knows what they're doing, kind of keep you from getting into trouble. But anyway, there's three of them, August 20th, September the 17th, and October 15th, Sherrall State Parks in Sherrall, South Carolina. You're going to be out on Lake Juniper, and just a really cool time to be on the water when it gets dark. And, you know, there are it's a registration fee. You need a headlamp, water insect repellent, and clothing for weather. But a good time, good thing for the first-timers to get out there and just enjoy being out on the water. Oh, yeah. The Upper South Carolina State Fair. This is a good family event. Saying that, I've never been. It starts August 25th through September the 5th, and there's all sorts of things. You just carnival rides. Of course, you got good fair food and all. One thing that kind of got me, there's a midway show. There's a rodeo. There's a petting zoo. Pig racing. There you go. And wolves of the world. You know, wolves are kind of reintroduced out west, and now they're population or such, they're starting to have controlled hunts for them and all. Something in the East Coast we don't get much of, but Wolves of the World is coming to the Upper South Carolina State Fair. And Michael and Sharon Sandloafers have an amazing story of how they came to rescue wolves. They've been doing it for generations. It started with two wolves that were rescued after Hurricane Katrina. And doing the shows for about 15 years, they own 16 wolves. And we'll bring several of them to the fair. So kind of a neat opportunity for you to meet an animal you wouldn't normally have any interaction with. It's pretty good. He's a Navy SEAL, Vietnam vet, deep sea diver, inventor, and so pretty neat guy anyway. But if you're at the Upper South Carolina State Fair, that would be something you'd probably want to check out. Let's see. Going to skip that one for now. Ah, the Big Float 2016. This is off the Savannah River Keeper website at savannahriverkeeper.org, the Big Float 2016. It's Saturday, August the 27th, and it's a paddle float and homemade raft competition. Now, there's some good family entertainment, whether you're going just to watch everybody else or whether you're involved. It's the second annual Big Float, a fun, leisurely, and family-friendly float down the river. Kayaks, canoes, stand-up paddleboards, inner tubes, and homemade rafts are welcome. They're moving the beloved homemade raft competition from Paddle Fest to the Big Float, giving you more time to gather your crew and build that winning raft. After party with local barbecue, brews, and live music. Let's see. Launching at 10 a.m., North Augusta Boat Ramp. Drive your vehicle to Savannah River Keeper's office in Augusta, and a shuttle will be there to take you back and forth. So anyway, if you're down that way, or you want to go down that way, it's not that far. Be a good thing to get involved in. We haven't done much with the South Carolina Barbecue Association, but they are having one, Bluegrass Barbecue, Butts and Bluegrass Barbecue Festival, September the 3rd from 10 to 2 in Clover, South Carolina. It's at the Clover Community Park. Kids Zone, live bluegrass music, vendors, and more. All proceeds will benefit Clover Area Assistance Center. And boy, I tell you, those guys cook some barbecue. So if you're into barbecue, bluegrass, here's something for you to do. And you can find out more information about that at the City of Clover. And that's over eastern part of South Carolina. We got some more stuff, but let's go to break. Going to be talking to Joe Apoger from FLW during the next segment about the FLW. And last part of the show is pretty open. I'll talk to you about what happened there later. So hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. He pretty much held my hand through the 2014 FLW Cup. in Columbia on Lake Murray, because that was the first real media event that I was involved in. Last year on Lake Ouachita, he kind of gained my own footing, and this year he was trying to keep me out of trouble with the BB guns, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we want to welcome Joe Apoger from the FLW to Woods and Water. Joe, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, Roger. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. I mean, it's, you know, it's been almost a week since we've seen each other.
I know. I'm kind of missing you.
We do have a good time together, don't we?
Absolutely.
We
get some good food.
And you eat some good food. That's that's one of the best things about the whole relationship here is the food. I haven't said anything on the air, so before we get into whatever else we're going to get into, go ahead and give everybody the news about the FLW coming to South Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, of course, we made the announcement last week, Saturday on stage at the Forestwood Cup. We are returning to Lake Murray, Columbia, South Carolina, for the 2017 Forestwood Cup next year. So we held a great event there in 2014, of course, with Anthony Gagliardi, the hometown hero, winning the event. And, you know, they've hosted a couple cups over the years. We held one back there in 2008 as well. So it's a great tournament location for us, a great fishery, and we're real excited to come back to South Carolina.
And we're glad to have you. I mean, it's been chatter since really February about, are you coming back? Are they coming back? And we thought you were coming back one place. And then, boy, it really escalated to ICAST. I mean, everybody, all the FLW pros, hey, man, I hear we're coming back to South Carolina. I'm like, I can neither confirm or deny. But we're excited to have you back. And dare I say this, but we still do not have a repeat champion.
No, it could have happened this year. You know, we had four former champions in the field, but it didn't. Jacob Wheeler kind of stumbled on that final day. And no repeat champ. And I know Anthony Gagliardi is looking at the schedule pretty hard right now.
And I don't want to jinx. I don't want to say too much, but could it be you have a repeat champion on a repeat lake? I mean,
you know, it's tough to say. I mean, obviously Anthony is definitely the favorite going into next year. However, this year he didn't qualify. The first thing you got to do, you got to
qualify.
Get there. And of course, seven events next year. We just added Lake Gunnersville last weekend as well at the Forestwood Cup. So it's not going to be easy for him to get there. But if he does, he's certainly going to be the favorite going in.
I just could not imagine what that place would be like if he pulled off a second one. Hopefully by a little more than an ounce this time. I'd like to see him run away with the second one.
Oh, like I said, that's probably the most dramatic FLW finish ever that I've ever seen before. And what a crazy way for it to end with, you know, the hometown guy getting the win by 1 ounce. And, yeah, that was an exciting one. If we can come even anywhere close to that next year, it'll be a really successful event.
It will. And we just got done with Huntsville, had a ball, great time. Daisy, I mentioned the BB guns, and I didn't see any appear, and I don't know if you saw any, but you know, all the pros that came through registration got a Daisy BB gun, and we were trying to figure out how to get them to do a media op out on the water with one of us around to photograph it with them trading BBs over 50 or 60 feet.
God, that I didn't see any of them in the on the water albums that our photographers were shooting. I did see a couple social media posts about it.
Yes,
but that's okay. We can handle that. But the boys kept them in the lockers during the tournament.
That was a good thing. Just a fun time. What to me, like I said, 2014 was the first media event I ever had, and I was intimidated. And
look at you now.
And look at me now. Now you're having to keep me out of trouble. but you are the man. And so, you know, I know what you do. Tell everybody else out here what you do with regards to the media, not only at the Cup, but also at the tour events during the year.
Sure. Well, my job is basically to generate media coverage for FLW. So that's, you know, working with radio hosts like you around the country, pitching newspaper reporters and television stations, and you know, when they do want to come out and cover the event, my job is to make sure that they're well taken care of. You know, if they want to talk to Brandon Cobb or Anthony Gagliardi, I'm the one that'll go get Anthony or Brandon for them and make sure they're ready to go. And then, you know, just generating positive media coverage for FLW and getting the word out when we come to town.
You didn't give us the dates. When is the Cup next year?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't have it in front of me.
It's August.
I believe it's August 11th through 13th. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's when it is. It's going to be changing to a three-day event
next
year.
That's what I was going to ask you about the format.
So how will that work? We're going to tighten the show up a little bit. The guys are only going to fish on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, Thursday is always kind of a tough day, just as far as, you know, it's middle of the week. Everybody's still working, and so, you know, it's kind of tough when we're trying to film a television show to get people to come out on Thursday evening. So we're going to tighten the show up. We're shortening it to 3 days, only Friday, Saturday, Sunday next year, and we think it's going to be really successful for us. And I know the guys, the anglers, are really excited about that change as well.
Yeah, it is the 11th, 12th, and 13th of August. Fishing will be out of Lake Murray. Drew Island will be the takeoff.
Yes, sir. Same facilities as when we were there in 2014.
Okay.
Dreher Island takeoff, and then weigh-in will be at Colonial Life Arena with the Expo right across the street at the Metropolitan Center there in Columbia.
And I assume the Expo will open up on Friday?
Yes. It'll run through the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Very good. I know I talked to Miriam Atrey at Capital City Lake Murray Country, and I think in 2014 there were about 70,000 people came out.
Yeah, it was one of our biggest cups ever. Of course, it helped, you know, when you had the hometown guys doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, this year, we had more than 53,000 come out to Alabama. So, you know, we consider that event a big success. But, you know, it's one of the reasons we keep coming back to Lake Murray is, you know, the fans there coming out in droves to see us.
It is center of the state, and it'll pull from probably one of the core areas for bass fishing in the South. There's a lot of us
absolutely.
Around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you're at a birthday party. I appreciate you taking time out. And are you really at the horse track?
Not yet. We thought it started at 12:30, but we were wrong. It doesn't start till 6 p.m. tonight.
So oh, my goodness.
I'm going down to an Irish festival right now.
Irish festival. And for those of you that if you haven't picked up on his accent, he's not from around here. He's actually from Minnesota.
Yes, and I'm 25% Irish, so
there you go.
Celebrate with my people right now.
And here's the thing about Joe that just a Southern boy just Joe ice fishes.
Absolutely, I've got a ice house with, you know, four bunks in it, and we're out there every winter.
Yeah, of course you told me something that was very. You told me something very. Informative says when you live in Minnesota and you want to fish, you drill holes in the ice.
Oh, it's great. We've got to get you out there one time.
Well, call me. I'm coming. You know, I'm up for anything once. Every time FLW wants to experiment, they call me. Hey, Roger will do it. Ask him. He'll do anything. But, look, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. Thank you. I mean, for whatever Woods and Water South Carolina is, on the bass fishing side, I owe it a lot of it to FLW because, like I said, 2014 was the first year. I mean, you were just great that year. Brand new media guy you'd never met. Last year was fun. This year we had a ball, and boy, I tell you, I'm looking forward to next year. And we're going to turn out some more members from the South Carolina Press Association to be there next year.
Awesome. Well, we sure do appreciate you as well. Thank you for coming to Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
Week with us at the Forestwood Cup. We appreciate having you there, and I'm happy to come on the show anytime.
Great. Anytime you need me, you just give me a call.
Thanks, Roger.
All right. Thanks, Joe. You take care of yourself and have fun tonight.
Hey, sounds good. You too.
All right. And I'm serious, people. He is one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. But by the end of the week, he is a ragged leftovers of Joe Pogger than he was on Monday. Trust me, but he's busy, you know, press releases and making sure anglers are there for interviews. And there are a lot of interviews that go on. I tend to spread mine through the year, but a lot of these online publications where you have a video and all, I mean, that media room is busy. And especially at a cut down on Saturday and then again on Sunday. And it's, but they do a great job of coordinating everything. You know, when I go, there's a media boat for me, and it's mine for however long I want it, usually until it gets too hot to be out on the water. But it was a good time. And look, I won't make plans now. It is. It's August 11th, 12th, and 13th. I'll tell you this. In 2014, and if ever my family is on this show, they'll tell you this. None of them bass fish. I mean, I hadn't bass fished in 2014. But we went, and I covered it Thursday, Friday, was here doing the show live on Saturday. Sunday, took the whole family down. They do demonstration rides, like Evan Rude will have boats going out, Mercury, you know, Ranger boats. So you can take your kids on a boat ride. They might never otherwise be able to get on a $75,000 bass boat and go tooling around Lake Murray. And it's that was really cool. Then they had, last year they had, in 2014, they had Bass and Barbecue, which they had in Huntsville this year. So you could go sample some of the best barbecue Columbia had to offer, or actually all across the state. And then, like I said, they had the expo going. You could buy fishing gear, FLW merchandise. I'm fortunate enough to have media passes, media credentials. So if you go next year, you can look down on the floor, and hopefully I'll still be alive and be there. They always put on a good concert. You know, had Rodney Atkins in 2014. Last year in Lake Ouachita, Arkansas. Can't remember where it was. They had Justin Moore. And this past year, they had Justin Lynch. And I'm not going to tell you who we're working towards, but I did have a, half an hour conversation with Mary Maitrey, who is hosting through Capital City Lake Murray Country. And if we can bring who we want to a free concert on Sunday, you will not want to miss it. So looking forward to that. And I haven't talked to Anthony because he's been busy, but I did text him and say there's no – two-time winner, it's coming back to your lake, and like I said, the who knew when and all that's still a mystery, but I knew a month or so ago where it was going, but I couldn't say anything. But I have texted him back and forth a little bit. He's excited. Like I said, he did not make the cut this year because of one tournament. You know, in 2014, he got DQ'd from a tournament and made it all the way to the cup. So it'll be interesting. We'll have to do something to kind of build excitement for this, but it is a fun time, and they're a great organization to deal with from the media side. So hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side with more Woods and Water South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. The fact checkers are hard at work today. It was Justin Moore in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I think I said it was Justin Lynch, but it's Dustin Lynch. I mean, okay, a letter. You country music people, you know this stuff. It was good, isn't it? And, of course, cool thing being down on the floor where he's, you know, real close to you and all. My kids love that in 2014. So, but, yeah, if we can get who we want for that concert on Sunday, it will be well worth your time to come to Columbia. You know, I don't know if you want to get up for the launch, but go out and take a boat ride, go to the expo, come to the weigh-in. I had a segment recorded, and it sounded fairly well when we were recording it, and when you listen to it, it sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. So we're not gonna run that one today. I got some other stuff to go over, which is kind of neat, having some time just to get through some of the things I want to talk about. But if you're out there and you want to call me, if you want to text me, both numbers, call or text us, 877-235-9405. We will get the other segment back. It was August is Tree Stand Safety Month, and I had Jerry Widener from Hunter Safety Systems in Alabama called, and we talked. And like I said, it was just really strange. Before halfway through the interview, it was really bad. And then all of a sudden it sounded like he was sitting in the chair next to me. So I don't know if it was cell coverage he was under or whatever. But so anyway, I got some free time here. And if you don't want to call in or text me, you're going to have to listen to me for the next half an hour. So choice is yours. Ball's in your court. I'd love to hear what you had to say or our thoughts on the upcoming hunting season or getting outdoors, which is what this show is all about. But I did have a couple more kind of cool things for the calendar, and I'll run through these real quick. A Sparkleberry Swamp Paddle. Now, Sparkleberry Swamp has always been kind of a duck hunting. The old thing, oh, yeah, I know some guy got lost in Sparkleberry Swamp and the alligators ate him. You know, it's kind of one of those places in South Carolina that's really undisturbed. It is still swamp, and you can still get lost in it. But I was cruising through the South Carolina State Parks webpage looking for things for the calendar, and they've got a weekday on the water, Sparkleberry Swamp Paddle. This is over in Wedgeville, South Carolina. Points at State Parks, rustic yet contemporary cabins offer a great way to access some of South Carolina's beautiful Midlands. Poinsett, nicknamed the Mountain of the Midlands, has miles of trails waiting to be explored by foot or on bike. It also provides access to a great paddling experience, Sparkleberry Swamp, just a short drive from the front gates of the park. This program combines a great two-night stay in the park's cabins with a beautiful three-hour kayak trip. Beginners, as well as experienced kayakers, are welcome. We'll use sit-on-top kayaks that are easy for beginners to use, so you can feel comfortable about trying a new outdoor activity. Bring your bike or hiking shoes to more fully experience the park on the trails after the kayak trip. It's $149, double occupancy, $249 single. You can do a cabin night before or night after for $49. So September 12th through the 14th, September 19th through the 21st, September 26th through the 28th. And that is Midland. And like I said, Sparkleberry is it's still pretty much untouched, I imagine. And at least by me, I was always too scared to go in there. But the other one, and today is what you do when you're not here for a couple of weeks. National Wild Turkey Federation was doing a dove class 101, learn to dove hunt. On the 17th of September, I know it's a little bit far out there, but usually these things are pretty restricted on how many people they can fit in. They have a learn to deer hunt 101 class at the National Wild Turkey Federation in Edgefield. I'm actually going to be at the National Wild Turkey Federation Thursday for a board meeting I've got to be at. But if you're interested in deer hunting, this is the way to go. They have a great facility down there. I imagine, I'm not sure if PJ Puri will be doing the class, but anyway, it will be a good class and well worth the drive and whatever ticket cost it is if you want to learn how to deer hunt. Speaking of deer hunting, 2016 public draw hunts are out there. The deadline to apply is this Friday, August the 19th. So, and I think it's a $20 application fee. Some of them, like if you go to Web Center, I'm sure you have to, there's a small charge for staying in the house and all when you go to the Web Center hunts. But most of these are in low country, Bear Island, Bonifari, Botany Bay, Donnelly, Hamilton Ridge, Palachicola, Wateree is in Richland County. Webb Wildlife Center is Hampton County. But then you also have Belfast, which is right down there in Newberry County. And the dates, you spread October, November, there's a couple of Decembers in some of the ones in Hampton, Cotton County. Webb's probably the biggest one. Webb's got, man, they're just pretty much every weekend. And it's a pretty good one. Webb also, if you're interested, has an archery-only hunt. And that's November 3rd to the 5th. That's the one I'm going to put in for. Webb's, 6,000 acres or something right on Savannah, backs up Savannah River. So if you're interested in deer hunting, whether you're new to the state of South Carolina or you're just getting into deer hunting and you don't have a place to go or a club you're a member of, these are public draw hunts. You know, depending on weather, which you never can control, or moon phase, they can be great hunts or they can just be nice time spent in the woods. And that's the attitude you ought to have when you go on deer hunts. Coming up real soon, and this is this is why I was in such a good mood today when I got those pictures of my dove field, because dove season's coming up. In fact, the new regulations are out there. You can find them online, or probably by now they're in stores where you buy your licenses and all. October the 3rd through October 15th is the first split on dove season. 12 noon until sunset, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And then it opens up to all day. November 12th through the 26th, the second split. And then December 15th to January 15th is the third split. There's a daily bag limit of 12, possession limit of 36. There are public dove fields spread all across the state. They are on a first-come, first-served basis. A wildlife management area permit is required for all fields. Please consider the other hunter. And that's one thing, you know, is early in the season, they're really, really crowded. You know, opening day, not quite elbow room. Just be, you know, consider of your other hunters. But after that, man, these, a lot of these fields open way up. And especially late in the season, if you have a companion crop to the brown top millet or whatever, it's they can be really good when the migratory birds come through. On these fields, you cannot get into the field until 12 noon. You have to sign in. Can't be on the field before noon. You have to sign out. 12 birds, you're limited to 50 shells per hunt, which is, it's nice because you have people that start thinking about those shots. Of course, dove hunting for a lot of people is, how much ammunition can we burn? Because I'm not going to hit one of these things anyway. But it's a fun time. You have to be off the field by 6 o'clock. And what that does is it lets the birds come in and feed a little bit. And for those of you who don't know about dove hunting and all, a statistic that like 75 to 80% of doves will die there during any given year just because that's their life span and difficulties they endure through the year. Heat, cold, rain. So it's that's always in South Carolina. If you've been here your life and you hunt, you know that dove season is really the start of the year. Calendar really starts September the 3rd because that is the opening day of dove season. And their fields are spread all across. Abbeville, Aiken, Fance Grove has one. There's a dove field in Gaffney, South Carolina. Worthy Bottoms in Chester, which used to be a Wednesday hunt, which was kind of neat. You shot on Saturday, and then Ken Fleming and I would go down there to Worthy Bottoms because, and he worked for the wildlife department, so I felt like I was really in kid, you know, going along with the game warden to shoot doves, which meant also I had to stay well within the limits of the law. You know, PD over in Florence, Gray Court, Dove Field in Lawrence, fields in Lexington, McCormick, Belfast has a dove field in Newberry. And a lot of these places have youth-only hunts. So when you go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage, you can look. And it's first page as you pull it up, you know, have the seasons and bag limits and all. And that's about two-thirds of the way down the field page. You'll see youth dove hunt information. And some of these fields, the first day is reserved for youth. So like September 3rd on, I think, a couple of the fields in Sumter County, they are youth only, which is a great opportunity for you to get a youth involved in hunting because, yes, it's going to be a little hot. You just take plenty of water, find your shady spot. But the kids, I mean, it's just going to be a field full of kids. So I think it's pretty much equal opportunity unless you've got a ringer in your family. I don't have one yet, but I have a feeling I will have one shortly as soon as I get her shotgun. And then, you know, York County, Union County, Sumter, they're spread all across the state. I'm not sure. They don't say how many they got this year. But anyway, and that's so you got a couple opportunities there. You public draw deer hunts, August 19th on that one. And then these are all open except for like some of them will be youth only. So if you're looking for a place to get out and go hunt, there's two opportunities for you to do it. And those are spread all across the state. And the only thing on a dove field that you've got to remember, treat every gun like it's loaded and never shoot below the tree line. Cardinal rules on a dove field. Hang on through the break. Going to have a few more stories and then that'll be it for another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I don't know why I cannot get onto the Department of Natural Resources website. It keeps giving me some error message or whatever. Jeez Louise. But I was looking. There is a youth hunt in Clemson at Fance Grove that I can't get to. It is... Wow. I know I printed it out, and I just can't get to it. But anyway, it is a youth deer hunt sponsored by Clemson University. And, wow, I can't believe I can't get to that story. Anyway, I'll print it out next time. If you are a youth, I'll put this out there, and I am a I am a I'm certified by the Department of Natural Resources to take you out in the woods deer hunting. That's a simple version. I am a certified Department of Natural Resources mentor, whether it's dove hunting, deer hunting. I'm not real big on turkeys. But this hunt in Clemson, if you can get to the application and look at it, in the application it says it's a youth deer hunt, but you have to have an adult with you, whether it's parent, mentor. There is a mandatory safety meeting beforehand, and a couple other restrictions on it. But the big thing is you have to have a mentor. And I'm going to throw this out there. If anybody, if you know of a kid that wants to go deer hunt, does not have the means to go, whether it's, you know, gun, camouflage, somebody to take them. If you know a kid like that and you want, and that kid wants to go deer hunting, I will take, I'll mentor and guide that kid on a deer hunt at the Clemson Deer Hunt at Vance Grove. You can get a hold of me. My email is roger@woodsandwatersc.com. It's all spelled out. roger@woodsandwatersc.com. You can call the station here if you can't get a hold of me there. You can find Woods and Water South Carolina on Facebook. But if you know of a kid that wants to go deer hunting, doesn't have a place to go, doesn't have a gun, doesn't have a camouflage, I can provide all of that. And you just get a hold of me, and we'll figure out how we can make that happen and see if we can't get in on that deer hunt down in Clemson. And speaking of that, there's Department of Natural Resources has a great program, Take One, Make One. And I'll be doing some hunts with them later on this year. They want to do, they've asked me to come mentor a dove hunt in Sumter on the 3rd, but I've got to be here for something else. But during the year, I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna try to be available as much as I can. Hopefully not a lot of them take, I think a lot of them take place in the afternoon, so that might be a good thing. I can make some of those. But like I said, if you know a kid, get a hold of me somehow or another at the station, email, Facebook, and we'll try to make that happen for whatever kid you want to get out there and get deer hunting. I wish I had a place I could take all the kids. That would be fun, and I'm working on it, but it's something that's kind of out there a little bit. Speaking of deer hunting, there's a great article that came out, and you read this kind of research, and it's getting more and more prominent as, you know, technology increases in GPS, and you've always wondered, you know, you'll see a nice deer early in the season, and boy, you start really hunting, and you only see him once. And you're like, well, what happened? And then you, after the season closes, you find an antler from him, or you see him again. And it's been an interesting thing, but it is a great article came out. I've been holding on to this for a year. This was posted September 14th of 2015. Bernie Behringer, Outdoor Hub, Deer Camp 2015, are bucks avoiding your tree stand? And, you know, I don't know. I have maybe two tree stands that I hunt out of for the most part, if I don't sit on the porch at the farm. And, you know, it seems like early you see a lot, and then the deer just kind of disappear. I think a lot of it is they go nocturnal, but this is pretty interesting. You know, we've all been busted by a buck at some point, and it's a drop piece of equipment. Yeah, I had a deer call around my neck and hit a stand, and, you know, plastic on metal, and he was gone. That's just a gimme. A Labrador Retriever and a 10-point buck don't mix either. I'll tell you that one. But it just seems like they know where we are. And come to find out from this study, they pretty much do know where we are. Clint McCoy, who's a graduate student at Auburn University, and recently can study, now this recently would have been in 2015, he tracked 37 bucks for an entire hunting season and compiled the data he collected into some very surprising conclusions. 10 of these bucks were 4 years or older. We consider those grown ones. 9 were 3 years old. Those are kind of your mid-30s. 10 were two-year-olds. That's, you know, early 20s. And 8 were yearlings. Those are your teenagers. Those are the ones that have a real hard time surviving because they're just out there invisible a lot. Each was equipped with a GPS collar that tracked their exact location to within a few feet and reported the results every 30 minutes for 3 years. Okay, got that? 3-year study. Those millions of data points were all taken on a 10 square mile study area in South Carolina. And I think I know where this was done. Grant Woods alluded to this place when he was doing his research here in South Carolina, too. So the Bucks had plenty of room to roam. On this study area were about 100 food plots totaling 300 acres, 60 automatic feeders, and 100 tree stands. Okay? Hunters were dropped off and picked up near the tree stands. The hunting started September 15th. Yeah, that might work. September 15th. And ended November the 22nd. So maybe that was, I was trying to think, that's game zones 1 and 2 for archery season. Data was also collected on which stands had hunters and for how long. Each buck was tracked in relation to the hunters in the stands, and specific attention was paid to what McCoy called a danger zone, which was the distance a hunter could visually see from the tree stand. Now, that'll differ whether you're bow hunting or rifle hunting or whatever. The result of this study were quite revealing. On August 24th, now this is 3 weeks before the season started. One out of every three visits the bucks made to the food plots were during daylight hours. And that's what you'll see a lot of times, trail cameras this time of the year. Oh, man, I got some nice deer, and poof, you hit hunting season, they vanish. By November 22nd, the food plots were getting almost no daylight use. Data showed the bucks were four times more likely to walk through the danger zone at the beginning of the season than they were at the end. At the end of a season, a buck's average location was 50 yards further away from any tree stand than it was at the beginning of the season. Now, you're dealing with an animal who can smell like you wouldn't believe. They can see like you wouldn't believe. And they can hear. I mean, when you go deer hunting, you're the handicapped person in this situation. Because they are, especially in the southern woods. You talk to anybody that hunts Midwest, our woods are tough to hunt in. So, you've got a buck that's averaging 50 yards further away from a tree stand than it's September 15th. Data also showed that the more times a stand was hunted, the more deer avoided it. Now, this is always a question I've had because I hunt perimeters. Except at the farm I hunt on, which, you have to leave the house and walk through to get to where you're going. And my normal, from where I get out of my canoe to my tree stand, is probably 60 yards. And I've often wondered, in the wind, I only hunt that when the wind is to my advantage, and I'm still not very successful, even there's a lot of deer. But I've always wondered about that stands. But he said, here it is, no surprise here. If, for example, you hunted a stand for 12 hours in any week, your chance of seeing any buck was cut in half. And this avoidance behavior lasted for an average of 3 days. So you got a favorite stand you like to hit two or three times a week? You have to find another stand to hunt, according to this. Surprising, there was little difference between the avoidance moves of mature bucks and those of yearlings. They all learned to avoid the stands quite quickly. Now, what can we take away from this? Deer were tipped off to the presence of hunters in primarily three ways: sounds, sight movement, and scent. So if you can reduce any of these three, you increase your odds. Sounds are the easiest to control. Dry leaves, I try to keep as much as I can without making it a path for everybody else to go through. Try to keep the sticks off my trail going into my stand. And duct tape is a great thing. You can silence a lot of metal clanking with a piece of duct tape. He writes here, he said, I was brought up with a strict regimen of going in the stand an hour before daylight in order to let our scent dissipate. I really do that these days. Consider waiting until daylight to walk to your stand. Yeah, it's got something to do with artificial light. If you're going walking in with a flashlight, wind currents can be the single most important factor in tipping deer off to your stand site. While you can't entirely eliminate human odor, we can do things that'll help reduce it. It's antibacterial, antimicrobial soap, shampoos, laundry detergents. I do. I religiously take a shower every time I go in the woods. So I thought that was real interesting. They do. It does seem like they just disappear on us. And now we know why. And like I said, more and more of this research is coming out. You really do. If you have the chance at a nice buck in South Carolina, you probably put your work in, and for that you're to be commended. But boy, for the rest of us who just think we can go out there on the weekends and, Yeah. Might want to sleep in a little more. duck numbers are out. They're looking really good. We'll go through that next time. I wanted to say this. This morning, we were in Greenwood, South Carolina for a funeral. As you know, Brandon Cobb fishes the FLW Cup and has been a real good friend of this show. He's been on a few times. He's actually wearing the Woods and Water South Carolina logo on his jersey. Monday of the Cup, his grandfather had a heart attack, and he was considering coming home. Fished that week, came home. Well, his grandfather died Thursday, funeral this morning. So if you're ever mind to, I'm sure the Cobb family and the Bennett family could use some your thoughts and prayers. As you know, and you talk to Brandon, you read the obituary, and it's like everybody's granddaddy. You know, take him fishing, love the grandkids. You know, stand up guy, community leader. So I'm sure he would enjoy any thoughts and prayers you have for him. Going to get into some good stuff the next few weeks as hunting season gets closer. Also, getting, you know, hiking season as the weather turns off. Leaf season's coming. I mean, now's the time to figure out when you're going to go to the woods. And just for you, Dave, you know I love Pokemon Go. For the rest of you, you can take the app off your phone. Chuck Norris caught all the Pokemon from a landline. So, thanks for tuning in. Hope you're tuning in again next week. As always, make time to get out there. Man, hit those back roads. Don't ever forget that camera. See you next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina. In my mind.